All right, Matthew 24. We're coming down here to our last message, I think last message, don't quote me on that, okay, of making disciples. And I have here making dependable disciples, as we've been looking at on a Wednesday night, what a true disciple of Christ is. Big misconceptions today about what a disciple is. I'm a Christian, okay, well, it goes further than that. I was saved once, but that's about as far as they go. And a lot of preaching and teaching today is about a mile wide and an inch deep, you know. It looks big, it sounds good, but when you get down to it, it's not very deep. Okay, so making disciples. Okay, now notice in our text, Matthew 24, 42, let's pick up there. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But now know this, that if the good men of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily, I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion. With the hypocrites there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, in particular, if you know your Bibles, this is a portion of Scripture dealing with a lot of end times type of scenario. Okay, we don't get into all of that because of the time tonight, but I wanted to point out that he asked the question there, notice in your notes, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Now, David lamented as well. He said, Psalm 12, verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one, with his neighbor. With flattering lips, with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Solomon goes on to proclaim the same. He says in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? I like that. Who can find? Now again, that has twofold play to it. A faithful man, who can find? A faithful man is rather reserved and quiet, necessarily. He's not boasting all the time, so he is quiet. But it also carries with it, you know that, right? Who can find? Where are they? Where are the men? As David said, thus the godly man ceaseth. Where are they at? The unfaithful ones. Now, the Lord is calling us to be dependable. Dependable. Okay, next paragraph. There is a great need for faithful men and women. Where are those who show themselves worthy of trust in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties? Where are the ones who can be relied on? Someone has said, the greatest ability is dependability. I like another guy said, the greatest ability is stickability. You know, they just stick. They stay. Anyone can be dependable if he chooses to do so. It does not require a great deal of skill, but it does require character. Anyone can quit. It takes someone of good character to continue to whatever is entrusted to them when it becomes difficult. Truly, we know that. Okay, so again, I have in the notes there, we already read it, so we don't need to. But notice 1 Corinthians 4, 2 at the bottom. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found giving faithfully to his local church. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? Moreover, what's it say? That he be found faithful. And oh, that's missing today, isn't it? Now, I'm not talking, again, you know this, I'm not talking about church attendance, faithfulness, particularly. Faithful. How many people you know that maybe at one time were good, strong, healthy Christians or whatever the case is, and they're nowhere to be found today, right? Boy, hard to find good work these days. Some men in here that have their own businesses and such. Good, trying to find good, reliable, dependable work. But that's true in the Christian life as well. Now, one requirement which the Lord Jesus laid down for his disciples, it was obedience. Unquestioned, implicit obedience. If you are not obeying the revealed will of the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, for your life, you have no right to call yourself His disciple. Neither do you have any right to say that you love Him. Well, how can you say that? John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We are to do this consistently, faithfully. Okay, so again, it's obedience that comes to it. Are we faithful? Are we dependable? but dependable. Now, notice I have a first point, our example of faithfulness. We ought to be faithful. Now, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant, mercy with them that love him, keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. So we must be very cautious and careful. But he is a faithful God. And by the way, aren't you thankful for that? Praise God. Amen. God is faithful. And often you think about this, sharing the other day with one of the kids. Does God ever forget? No. Does God ever forget something? Does he not remember to do everything he told? No, never. We know he's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. So he's always faithful. When you are unfaithful, he's faithful. Okay, again. God, first of all, notice letter A, God is faithful to save all who come to him. And John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know, God, people come to the Lord, he doesn't say, well, no, not you. You're the wrong color. You speak the wrong language. You're from, your income bracket isn't right where it needs to be. Praise God for that. All that come to him. Why do you share the gospel with everybody? Now, a big problem back in, as you know, back in the 50s and 60s, especially in the civil rights movement era, a lot of churches got in trouble for trying to evangelize the African-American communities by their fellow churches. Why would you do that? Why would you go there? There were other ethnic groups as well, the Orientals and others in certain cities, big metropolitan cities of our country. And churches would go to evangelize, and they got in trouble by their fellow churches, their denominational whatever committee. And what was it? They truly believed the Bible. And when it said, go in ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every person, every creature, we took it literal. We talked about in our Bible Institute, and I like that. We take the Bible literal. Where the Bible is not literal, it will tell you that, right? Where it's literal, most case, it's literal. Okay, letter B, anyways, God is faithful also, notice, to deliver us from temptation and evil. 1 Corinthians 10:13, we've read that many times. But notice what he says, God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now, some people take that and say, God's playing a sick game. Why would he do that? I'm going to tempt you here. Do you ever feel that way? I'll tempt you, tempt, and let's see how far you can go. No, he's not doing that. It is our foolishness often. But when temptation comes our way, he knows how much we can handle. With the temptation makes a way to escape, we may be able to bear it. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, truly, struggling with wickedness or wicked thoughts or evil or sinfulness, you trust the Lord. If God is faithful, I can do it. I can be faithful. Letter C, let's flip that. God is faithful to preserve it. You wouldn't ever make a typo, would you? None of you would. Okay. And God is faithful to preserve us forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He's faithful. And every time you step out by faith, he'll be there. He'll take care of us, right? Okay, supposed to be D next. God is faithful to keep us when we doubt. 2 Timothy 2:11. It is a faithful saying. Again, I've given you all these verses. I want you to take them home and study them for yourself too. Okay? He's faithful. A faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall live with him. We suffer, we shall also reign with him. We deny him, he also will deny us. We believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Again, you say, well, God doesn't exist, so that's the end of that. No, my friend, wrong. Okay, he's faithful. He's faithful. Next, God is faithful to keep us when we are persecuted. All right, 1 Peter 4:19. Now, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Now, that does not mean you can lose your salvation. Some people believe that. The keeping of their souls. Oh, we can lose it. No, it's not what it's saying at all, right? You know that as you read the context of it. The will of God. We keep, let the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. God is faithful and he has your best interest in mind at all times. Letter F, God is faithful to forgive us when we sin. one of my favorite verses, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful verse? I love that verse. We need it every day. Confession is made. We confess it. What it is that we're just acknowledging it. You say, well, God, you already know that. Well, true, but he wants it to come out of our lips, just as he did with Adam and Eve. He knew Adam and Eve have sin, and he knew they were naked, and he knew they were hiding. But he said, where are you? Why? So they would know where they were. Isn't that awesome? We would realize where we are. Okay, now, I got through that first part rather quickly because I want to get to these other second parts. But we understand God is truly faithful. Why and how can we be dependable disciples? Because he's dependable and because he's faithful to us. Okay, now notice secondly, the encouragement to faithfulness. Okay, now go to 1 Corinthians 15, if you will, please. Again, a really, really good portion of Scripture. It's all good in the neighborhood, but this is good particularly. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, my Bible's too heavy. It's fallen over here. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, man. And you know where I'm going. Go down to 51. Look at this. Look at this sucker. Is this not a big mamma jamma? Isn't that nice? Super giant print. Okay, that's nice, ain't it? 1 Corinthians 15:51. What's he say? I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall he be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's present tense. We have victory right now. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, so encouragement to faithfulness. Notice, we have the promise of being changed. Now, remember this, we have a day coming when it'll all be over. And sadly for a lot of people, that they don't see that day. They look at it and say, okay, well, I'm just going to live, die, go in the grave, that'll be it. Maybe I'll wake up. I heard a testimony of a famous actor, and he said, well, when I get to heaven and get to the pearly gates, and when I greet Peter, and I hope he'll let me in. A lot of people believe that kind of stuff. That's not the time to decide, sir, when you're going to get to heaven. It's too late. Our decision is made on this planet while we have breath in these lungs. So we have a promise of being changed. We're going to be changed. And that corruptible is going to put on incorruption, that mortal put on immortality. I don't need to go through it all, but in Revelation, he says no more tears, no more pain, no more heartache, no more physical aching of your body. Amen. No more that frustration, that jealousy, that rage, that resentment. None of that. That'll be great. And we won't die. We'll be with him forevermore. We'll also have no need to fear death. No need. No need. No more. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Grave, where's thy victory? So many people, I've done many funerals. Sad to say it, I've done quite a few now. But some are in the casket, some are in an urn, you know, done several different funerals like that. And the people think it's the end. It's the end. It's not the end. If we're saved people, we know that. All they did was graduate. They went to the next level. And that's a great thing. And that's why we're so earnest and so pushy sometimes with the gospel, because we want people to be saved in that need. Okay, we have no need to fear death. How many people fear death daily? We have continual victory through Christ, constant victory. I hope you have victory in your life. Now, talking about a disciple, true disciple, of being faithful and dependable, these are helps to us. We also have letter D. We have the promise that our work will not be empty. I like that. Verse 58, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Not one thing you do, one thing. You ever heard the saying that Jesus made, can't give a cup of cold water, right? And you understand it. You won't lose your reward. All I did was give a disciple or an apostle a cup of water. That's all I... You helped. All I did was give a little tithe on Sunday. Did that help? I mean, I didn't do much. Whatever it is you think. Now, we got some people that are the opposite sometimes that think they killed the fatted calf, you know, when they do something for the Lord. But there's a fine line, you know that. And you think about it. You just being faithful tonight. We're all tired, aren't we? Sunburned, tired. Some of you drove all the way into town, all the way back out. Dealt with people you'd rather strangle than put up with, you know. And you're here tonight. Why? I better be there. No, you're doing it. Why? Because I want to be faithful to the Lord because He's faithful to me. So everything we do for Him does not go overlooked. He's watching. He's taking note of. Commendations are given. Positions of authority are given. Joy of the Lord is given. Okay, so just talking about some of the work that we have. Number, whatever we're on. What are we on? Three here. The simple task of faithfulness. Now, here's some simple tasks of true faithfulness. Now, I'm being rather elementary with some of this because I know I'm preaching to the choir. You know what's hard? Preaching a message on faithfulness to the faithful people. That's hard. I should have called everyone and told you stay home and then tried to get everyone that doesn't usually come. Well, they wouldn't have showed up, would they? It's hard, isn't it? Preaching faithfulness to the people that are faithful. So please, bear with me. And I know you have. Rather elementary. Well, here's some tasks. To be faithful and dependable. Daily Bible reading and study. 1 Timothy 4, he explains and he talks about how being faithful in these areas. The elementary ABCs sometimes of Christianity. We got to read the Bible to find out what it says. Okay? Believe the Bible to gain spiritual wisdom. Study the Bible to learn its freedom. Giving truths. Meditate on the Bible to feed your spirit. Memorize the Bible to keep you from sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Obey the Bible to protect yourself and to please God. You know, obedience to the Bible does protect us, doesn't it? Keeps us safe. Really does. How many times I've blundered and messed up. And I look back and go, man, if I would have just followed the Scripture and obeyed what God told me and gave to me. And we please it. So again, you know these things. But again, I want to encourage you with it. Daily Bible. You say, oh, I do. No, make a time. Whatever it is, all of us can say we haven't done our part in that part of daily Bible reading and study. Letter B, prayer and supplication. He says there in 1 Thessalonians 5, in particular 17, you know that. We continue in prayer. Now, talk to God. Express your heart to Him. Again, I say this often, but somebody asked me a while back, can I talk to God as a normal person? Can I talk to Him? I said, absolutely. They said, can I vent to Him? I said, absolutely. Obviously, reverently, you don't use foul language and stuff of that nature, but you can vent. Lord, you know I can't stand that person. Please help me. Help my heart. Help me. But really, Lord, you know what I'm going through, my trials, and you know what we're dealing with right now. Help us. Help me. Whatever it is. You truly bring it to Him. Talk to God. Express your heart to Him. I like to pray out loud, and it kind of scares my wife sometimes, but what are you doing in there? Oh, just talking to myself. No. But you think about it. I ran a guy the other day, had one of those things in his ear, Bluetooth thing, and I thought he was said something. You know, well, come again. What was that, sir? And he looked at me like, what are you talking? Get away from me, you weirdo. Like, take that thing out of your ear. I know. Talking to me or not. You know, okay. Praise Him for who He is, what He is. Praise Him for what He's done. Oh, what a neglected thing I know in my life. Praise Him for what He's done. Praise Him for the ability to walk. Praise Him for the ability to hear, standing upright. Oh, just 1,000,000,000 things we could praise Him, but praising Him for everything. Plead with Him for the things you need and want. Plead. You know, we have not because we ask not. Ask Him. He'll give it. Petition Him on behalf of others, and especially do that. Letter C, public worship. We know that. Hebrews 10, in particular 25, it says this, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as you see the day approaching of the day you're going to die, the older you get, and you see the day approaching of the return of Christ, we ought to assemble more. All right, we preached that and studied that. But we got to assemble. We got to put more effort into it. Be a member of the local church, right? Again, carries with that baptism. That's joining a church as you're baptized. Oh, we're being a regular attendee. One quote given many years ago, but three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some of you can't always make that, I know. You've got job obligations and other things, and sometimes your weekend is all you have for yourself. But try if you can, as best you can, three to thrive, and you won't regret it. Be as part of the workforce. Again, 10% usually carry the load of a local church, not only financially, but also physically and other ways. Be a part of it. Be a part of it. Again, it's hard for me to preach this because you folks, you do all this already. Okay. Cheerfully giving, 2 Corinthians 9:7. We tithe on our total increase, you know. We give love offerings, again, when you can, if God lays on your heart, to give more at a certain time or season, or you see a need of the church that has, maybe, hey, could I purchase that? Could I pay for that? Could I help there? And again, you folks do so good at that stuff. But again, give faithfully to missions, we know. And then E, compassionate witnessing. This is something, again, that is true indicative, a characteristic of a dependable disciple of God. We're telling others what Christ has done. We're seeking to win them to Christ. And we live in such a way that our testimony is powerful. Okay, I'm going to close with 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. As we think about verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation, again, that refers to your lifestyle, honest among Gentiles or the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as an evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Talking about our testimony, very interesting. Remember, we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We're just passing through. We don't unload our backpacks and bags and luggage yet. We don't pull that stuff. We're still pressing on. We're passing through. We don't get tied down and bogged down in this world. Now, thinking through this, you and I must determine in our own hearts, we'll do the simple things that He asks us to do, do them without quitting. This is for our own benefit as well as for others. So again, just closing out, are you a good disciple or a true disciple of Christ? I hope you are. You're a pupil, a learner, somebody that's sitting at the feet of Christ saying, I want to learn, I want to be dependable. So remember, we can be faithful because He's faithful. You know that. He's faithful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You've had people in your life that have left you and forsaken you. Not God. Never will. You could run. You could deny Him. You could become an atheist. He'll still be right there. Right? Now again, for us tonight, we're saved. I doubt we'll ever get to that. I hope not. If you're truly saved, you won't. But you think about, are you a disciple of Him? I know you are. And so we're working towards reaching other people, helping them. The goal, again, is very simple. If a church runs 5,000 people or a church runs 5, it's the same formula. People come, we get their information, we go out, we get their information, we invite them in, we begin what? Making sure they're saved, they get saved, then we begin the process of what's called discipleship. And we share with them and teach them what the Bible says. What do I say? What do I do? How do I obey it? What should I do? That's it. That's simple as that. And we're creating and making disciples around us. I hope that's your goal. I hope that's your prayer as well. Okay? Anyways, thank you for coming tonight. Take this home, as I say often. Study some of these verses for yourself. And I've used some of it in different ways and using some of it for my devotion time and other things. And it's helped me as well. But I hope you do as well. Okay? Stay in your Bibles this week. I know you will. I pray for you every day. And stay in your prayer closet and seek opportunities to be a witness for Christ. Okay? We'll stop there. Lord, again, thank you for this evening. For those here, as I said, Lord, boy, it's tough preaching on faithfulness, dependability, when we've got folks here that truly exemplify that. Lord, they don't let things get in their way of keeping you first. And that's a great, great testimony to me. I thank you, and I pray for our church, Lord. I pray you'd help our church. We are not exempt from the adversary's attacks. In fact, that's been proven lately. We know that. He's working tirelessly to destroy our little church. He's working tirelessly to get his foot in the door. And Lord, we ask and pray that you do your work here among your people. Empower us this week, the rest of the week, to live for you and bring us back safely again. We love and thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.